I can still read.
Good morning. Today is Wednesday, February 18th, 2026. This is a regular meeting of the Abatement Appeals Board. I would like to remind everyone to please mute yourself if you're not speaking and to turn off all electronic devices. The first item on the agenda is roll call. Vice President Newman.
Here.
Commissioner Alexander Toot.
Here.
Commissioner Calamucci.
Here.
Commissioner Williams.
Here.
Who did I miss? And Commissioner Alexander Toot.
Here.
Lee. Commissioner Lee.
Right? Right.
Here.
I have a wrong.
Thank you.
My apologies. Yeah. I have a wrong role.
It's okay, Sonia.
And Commissioner McLeese and Commissioner Ming are both excused, and we have a quorum. Next is our land acknowledgement.
The Abatement Appeals Board acknowledges that we are on the unceded ancestral homeland of the Ramaytush Ohlone, who are the original inhabitants of the San Francisco Peninsula. As the indigenous stewards of this land and in accordance with their traditions, the Ramaytush Ohlone have never ceded, lost, nor forgotten their responsibilities as the caretakers of this place, as well as for all peoples who reside in their traditional territory. As guests, we recognize that we benefit from living and working on their traditional homeland. We wish to pay our respects by acknowledging the ancestors, elders, and relatives of the Ramaytush Ohlone community and by affirming their sovereign rights as First Peoples.
Thank you. Next, for any members of the public that may be listening in, the public comment call-in number is 415-655-0001. The access code is 2661-810-9771. And to raise your hand for public comment on a specific agenda item, press star 3 when prompted by the meeting moderator. Next, we have item B, election of officers. The board will accept nominations for the positions of president and vice president and vote to elect members to those positions. We currently don't have a full board here today, but that is up to those present if how we would like to proceed.
I think it's the motion of the, or it's the will of the body if we move forward with the elections or not. It's been the custom to wait till we had everybody here. Mm-hmm. So there's no, I believe, harm to the commission or to the board in waiting another month. Okay. But, you know, it's the will of the board.
Okay. So is there a motion then to continue the item to the March meeting?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
So there is a motion by Vice President Newman and a second by Commissioner Lee to continue the election of officers to the March regular meeting. Is there a public comment on that motion? No public present. And I'll do the roll call vote. Vice President Newman?
Yes.
Commissioner Alexander Toot?
Yes.
Commissioner Calamucci?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Yes.
And Commissioner Williams?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carried unanimously. Thank you. Next is item C, approval of minutes. Discussion and possible action to adopt the minutes for a regular meeting held on December 17th, 2025. I just wanted to announce that there's a correction to the minutes on one of the motions. Let me get the case just a minute.
Motion to approve minutes.
Okay, thank you. And I'll make a correction on the for the 4757 19th Street case. I had initially put that there were two dissenting votes, and one I put was Commissioner Williams, but it was Commissioner Calamucci. So it's Commissioner Calamucci and Commissioner Newman. So I'll make that correction. As amended.
As amended.
Okay. There was a motion with the amendment. Commissioner Newman is a first. Is there a second?
Second with the amendment.
Okay. So Commissioner Newman is first and Commissioner Alexander Toot second. Are all commissioners in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Are any opposed? Okay, then the minutes are approved. Thank you. And next, just for those present, for the order of the appeal, each party will have 7 minutes for their presentations. It will be the department will present first for 7 minutes and then the appellant. Next, there will be public comment for 3 minutes each. And then there will be commissioner questions or deliberation by the board. Rebuttal also, I'm sorry. There after public comment, there is rebuttal by the department for 3 minutes and then rebuttal by the appellant for 3 minutes. Okay, so the first case is case number 6966, 28 Niagara Avenue. Complaint number 20228624. Owners of record and appellant, Manuel Negron and Margarita Santiago Negron.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Mauricio Hernandez, and I represent the Department of Code Enforcement.
I don't think so.
This property is a one-family dwelling unit. Located at 28 Niagara Avenue. The complaint was originated based on a telephone complaint received on January 12, 2022, reporting active unpermitted construction at the garage level. Inspector confirmed frame, footing work, and interior construction without permits. A first notice of violation was issued February 1st, 2022. Permit application number 2022-07208970 was issued in July of 2022 to comply with the NOV, but expire on January 24, 2024 without final inspections. A final warning letter was issued on August 26, 2024, and the case was referred to court enforcement. A director's hearing was held in May 6, 2025, resulting on a 60-day advisement. Continued noncompliance led to issue of the order of abatement on July 8, 2025, after the advising period expired. The appellant is requesting relief of the order of abatement, citing hardship and time need to work, time to complete work. No evidence of full abatement has been provided. The staff recommends to uphold the order of abatement and uphold the assessment of 4% of cost. Violation remains outstanding, and life safety system concerns persist. As per evidence, again, there was one permit that was expired. There's a second permit that was actually obtained to recommend the work, but none of those permits actually got inspections. Thank you.
Is the appellant present for 28 Niagara? No. And there's nobody on here. Right? There's just one public. Okay, there's one public member. So there's one public caller. We're going to unmute you. Are you present for 28 Niagara? Hello, caller. You're the person that's on the meeting is unmuted. Are you for 28 Niagara? They didn't respond. So.
They didn't respond.
No.
They're not responding.
Mm-mm.
Okay. So hi, Jesse Minardi, Deputy City Attorney. So as the board may be aware, the rules say that if the appellant fails to appear at the hearing, the board will confirm we have to confirm that the notice of the hearing was properly provided in writing. And once that's confirmed, the order of abatement is immediately effective from the date the order was issued. So
So it was noticed, but can he confirm the date?
So we need to confirm that for the record, that they got adequate notice of the hearing.
So on January 13, 2026, there was certified mailing sent to the owner for the abatement appeals hearing. On the same day, Inspector Juan are there to take pictures and postings. There's also an affidavit on the file for that. On January 13, same day, we also notify the appellant via email that we have on contact, and we also contact them to remind them that there is a hearing.
Thank you. Do you happen to have the address and the email within the records right now?
Yes, it's actually in the application. Okay. There's two phone numbers, and there's also an email right on second page, item number 6, Eric Jackson and Margarita Negron. 415-852-8029-916-613-1105. And I believe the email is iloway415@gmail.com.
Okay. And the address, is there a mailing address?
28 Niagara Avenue.
Okay.
And again, like I said, on our complaint tracking system, the inspector went out there on site, posted the building as well for the hearing, took pictures, signed the affidavit, same as the mailing address. And we also sent an email to the appellant.
Okay, thank you.
Can you just say the address again? Because there's certified mail slips here that show a New Jersey address and then a...
So when we have that, we send two, and we also post the building as well.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. The New Jersey address is the bank that holds a loan, so we notify everybody with an interest of the property.
Got it.
We need a motion.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So what do we? So what next?
So the board does not have to do anything because the order of abatement just becomes effective.
Okay.
I think we could just state for the record that the appellant was notified and is not here.
So we don't need to confirm.
Do we need to make a finding that they were notified?
Sure. Couldn't hurt. And that the appellant is not here. Yeah.
Who defined that the appellant was notified?
Second.
Is that like a motion? Or we just say that?
You can say we'll that just... motion. You can do that as a motion if you want, that the appellant was notified and that the appellant failed to appear at the today at the hearing.
Okay. And that was Commissioner Williams. And then a second?
Second by Alexander.
Okay.
No, you can go.
Oh, do you turn on your mic? I'm sorry.
I was just curious how many days the appellant gets notified before appearing or not.
A few weeks before. I don't know. Chief Hernandez, would you like to know the days? I know it's several weeks prior.
Several weeks. Okay.
Yes. Everything is documented on the report. We try to... notify them almost a month in advance.
Got it.
Because we have to also do a site visit to see current conditions of the properties. And again, we also do surf our mailings and also contact the person who's actually in the application of the appeal.
Thank you.
And they typically get to have a director's hearing before they come before us.
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
All right, so I'll... do the roll call vote regarding the finding. Vice President Newman?
Yes.
Commissioner Alexander Toot?
Yes.
Commissioner Calamucci?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Yes.
And Commissioner Williams?
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries unanimously. Next is case number 6967242 Moscow Street, complaint number 20231030, owners of record and appellant Peng Xing Lee or Lai. Action requested by appellant appeals the July 23rd, 2025 order of abatement and assessment of costs.
Good morning again. Mauricio Hernandez representing Code Enforcement. Good morning, Commissioners. This property address is 242 Moscow Street, violation number 2023-10230. Again, building property description, this is a subject property, is a one-family dwelling unit. The case summary is as follows. The case originated from a telephone complaint received on July 3rd, 2023, reporting unpermitted exterior and garage-level construction activity at the subject property. Subsequent inspections confirmed that multiple alterations have been performed without the benefit of required permits, including infill of a garage door with installation of a new entry door, construction of a trash enclosure exceeding 36 inches in height, replacement of three windows, replacement of a stair handrail, installation of an awning, addition of a window, and installation of a vent, all located of the front of the structure. A first notice of violation was issued on July 10, 2023 for work performed without permits. Permit application number 2023-0717-2350 was issued on July 18, 2023 to comply with this notice of violation. However, the permit reflected no inspection history and the site of violation remained uncorrected. A final warning letter was issued on November 5th, 2024, and the case was subsequently referred to the code enforcement section for further enforcement action. A director's hearing was held on May 6, 2025, resulting in a 60-day advisement requiring the completion of all required permits and inspection. Continued noncompliance led to issuance of the order of abatement on July 8, 2025. The appellant requests is the appellant states that the assessed costs are excessive and requests relief from the order of abatement. The appellant also indicates difficulty completing the work due to tenant occupancy and property access limitations. Staff recommendation is to uphold the order of abatement and uphold the assessment of enforcement of cost. Violation remains outstanding and the order of abatement was properly issued following progressive enforcement and due process. Thank you.
Thank you. Is the appellant present? Can you come forward?
Hi, good morning, commissioners.
You could have to speak into the microphone.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good morning, commissioners. And when we have this complaint, when we notice, we already asked the architect to try to get the permit to have work immediately to correct the violation. However, due to the difficulty dealing with the access to the property, because the tenant is preventing us to do any performance at our property, 242 Moscow Street. And we are currently still on the eviction process. And so we are still in this legal process to evicting the tenant so we can complete the work. We can correct the violation.
Okay. Are you done with your presentation?
I guess our case is pretty simple. You know, when we don't know when we are having the so those workers. The violation was done long time ago, maybe. I don't know much about that. So when the complaint was filed by a phone call, and then we would love to sincerely make action to correct the violation. The difficulty, which is just because the tenant issues, so we cannot correct it. So now we are in the eviction process, so we can, you know, if that's successful, we can immediately correct the violation.
Okay. Thank you. Is there a public comment on this item? There's No public present, none remotely. Is there a rebuttal by the department?
No rebuttal.
Okay. And appellant, you have rebuttal if you would like to say anything additional. Do you have anything, any other comment, or are you okay? Okay, yeah. Thank you. Board discussion?
Questions for the...
Or questions?
I have more questions for the appellant. All right. When did the eviction lawsuit, when was that filed?
It was when we get the notice of violation and we trying to it's called a termination of tenancy. But the tenant wouldn't let us to. Let me go back. First, I have we talked to the tenant. We need to make this corrections because of the violation. But the tenant wouldn't let us access and do anything. And then
when was that? When did you first try to access the property? When did that happen?
When we have the complaint, we have been communicating with them immediately. And then while we get the complaint, we communicate with the tenant, and then we also communicate with the architect to get the drawing for the correction. But the tenant is, during the communication, wasn't successful, so we have the notice of a termination of tenancy because the tenant, they did not let us, and they have not yet let us access to the property to do any work for correcting the violation.
So did this all happen in 2023?
Yeah.
Okay. And why hasn't the eviction case been resolved in 3 years?
Are you a representative?
Yes. I'm actually the agent for the owner.
Okay. Okay.
Property manager. Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay, just one moment. Is it okay for her to speak since they didn't use their full time? They spoke for 4 minutes.
Or do you need to swear her?
That's one thing I forgot. So there's the oath, all parties present. Would you swear the testimony you're about to give is a truth to the best of your knowledge?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so I'll put the timer on for additional time. So we will let her speak if that's what you would like, and we're going to put the timer back on.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Good. These are questions, but I don't know. Maybe she has, because she didn't complete the. They really had to do their presentation.
Good. You can have the remaining 3 minutes to make a statement.
Okay.
I was going to ask questions.
Oh yeah, you can ask.
Okay. All right. Yes. Good morning. I would like to answer your question about why this has taken so long. The rent ordinance have regulations. This is a family that have children, so. At first, we couldn't temporarily terminate the tenancy because during the school year, we couldn't do that. So we had we were stuck for almost basically the whole school year. And then because we had to restore the garage door, that made their unit no longer habitable. So we went the Ellis Act route, and they had a lawyer that went through pick through the technicalities of the notice of intent to withdraw that I had served on them, and they fought also, and so that took another year for technical issues, and then they didn't pay rent for more than a year during this whole time, so there's another eviction pending for non-payment of rent. The case is scheduled to go to trial in March. And in the meantime, they had also filed a lawsuit and against us. And so there's pending litigation. If you saw the brief and the exhibits I submitted, the lawyers have several times, notify us that we are not to access the unit. So, and I'm here to basically help the owners make the case that I think it's unfair for them to be penalized because they couldn't access to do the work. So, and I was the one who was at the director's hearing when we got an extra 60 days to do the work. And we pushed really hard through that, but we were not successful.
That's it. Can I ask another question? So why, you said replace with the garage door open, or replace the door with the garage door. I have two questions. When was this work initially done?
The work under the permit, you mean? Or
the work to unpermitted? Convert the garage into a living unit. When was that work done?
I'm not sure I understand the question. When was the garage door replaced with a wall?
Yes.
That is something that was, maybe you can answer. When was that done? I'm not the owner, so that was done prior to that.
Okay.
My answer. Do you know when the garage door was replaced with the wall?
Oh, I totally forgot. When a wall is like this, I didn't.
He said when he purchased the place, it was like that already.
When you purchased the place. So can I ask why was it not possible to legalize the unit, or was the only remedy to turn it back into a garage door?
Because the notice of violation stated that they wanted the garage door to be restored. And we had a drawing that complied with the items that were listed in the notice of violation.
Okay, so it wasn't possible to legalize the unit. That's the question I have. And maybe the department can answer that.
I would just like to clarify that the notice of violation doesn't mention an unwarranted unit. It's only the work that was visible from the street. So
okay.
the replacement of the garage door, replacement of the windows, the stucco work. We haven't been given access to the interior to see if there is a unit there or not.
Okay.
All right. The appellant attached a letter from the attorney from Legal Assistance to the Elderly. It's dated May 18th, 2025. Is that the last attempt to access the property?
Yes, this was after the director's hearing that gave us basically 60 days to comply with the work.
Uh-huh.
And that's when we really try hard to get in and meet the deadline. But as you can see from this letter, you know, he was very forceful. He even said that he would send people to block the entry and demonstrate in front of the building if we ever showed up to do any kind of work. And then after that, I think it was all of the legal issues with the evictions.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I read the letter, and to me, it seems like there's a request in there that statutory notice be given for 24 hours and then some other request about the description of the work to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Was there ever an attempt to give that notice?
Yes, I did.
When did you do that?
Around this time.
Did you do it after this letter from Legal Assistance to the Elderly?
Yes, I attempted several times, and they wouldn't. They threatened to sue us, and they did sue us. Essentially, I think they wanted us to relocate the tenant elsewhere. And we tried to essentially pay the relocation fee to, you know, under the Ellis Act, to for them to relocate somewhere permanently. And they fought that, too, for the last 2 years. and they've been sitting there not paying rent all this time.
Well, there's a notice of violation, right?
Right, which we are trying to cure.
Paying the rent.
Which we are trying to cure.
Yep.
And we've gotten the permit, which they didn't let us in. Oh, and the eviction is part of that too. I mean, there's two causes of actions. One is the non-payment of rent. Yes, granted, I understand the habitability issues here, but at the same time, there's also the interference with the repair and maintenance of the property. That's the second cause of action that is pending as well.
Just, I'm wondering, would you have happened to brought that notice after this May 18th? Did you bring that with you today, a copy of that?
I have not, but let me search my email communication with the lawyer.
All right. I'll stop.
No? Okay.
I guess I'm a little bit confused. So I understand there was a violation and there was some difficulty in gaining access, but I'm not seeing that over the course of 3 years that there was, or I guess 2.5 years, that there, what I'm seeing is that your tenant had, or it was given a pathway, gave you pathways, and that you, what I heard you say, and so tell me if I'm wrong, that there was an option for you to relocate them, but you chose not to. You decided to go the Ellis Act instead. Is that correct? That you could have relocated them and done the repair work, but you didn't? Did I understand that correct?
Well, as I mentioned, because they have two small children, even the temporary relocation we would be stuck with during the school year, we couldn't do it.
So you chose not to do it?
We couldn't do it during the school year.
You can relocate someone within San Francisco within the school year. Did you offer that to them and they said no?
No, because the owners have decided that essentially when we have to restore the garage, that would cut into the living room, and that essentially would make that unit no longer habitable, and we chose to remove that unit completely from the rental. But the planning department also had changed their regulations in April 2024, in that if the property owner does not live in the main house, that it will require a variance of some sort. And I think that was new regulations, and we couldn't go that route either. And then so in the end, we looked at the Ellis Act as being the ultimate options, and we ran into technicality issues with the lawyer. So we explored a lot of options, mm-hmm. and here we are.
All right. I don't have a question.
Oh, you have another question? No. I think we should pull this back, and I think that there's some of us on this board that are tenant advocates. But the reality here is there was an NOV issued, mm-hmm. And the assertion is that they've been unable to remedy that because they haven't been allowed to access the unit. I have not seen proof mm-hmm. of the ability of them being limited to access that space. Or what I feel is sufficient proof. I don't know how other folks feel. And so I'm inclined to uphold the notice of violation.
Okay. Is that a motion?
Starting a discussion.
Starting a discussion, okay.
I agree with the assessment. My questions were to understand, was this the only path forward that, you know, was that... And it doesn't seem like there was. So I think that given the rules regarding the building code that we have in front of us and our kind of parameters of our authority, I'm not seeing the ability for us to make any accommodation. But I'm interested to hear.
Sorry, Commissioner Williams, can we let the commissioners that haven't spoken yet maybe share, and then okay. You can go last? Commissioner Lee.
Thank you. I guess my question is, did the property owners have sufficient time to even provide this today to prove in the last 3 years that this happened, like what you have testified today? Because we don't see it in plain paper. So I'm just curious, like, what happens even during trial, let's just say in March, right, when you have an ongoing lawsuit? Like, we still have this pending NOV as we speak. Mm-hmm. So.
Was that a question?
Open discussion. Okay. Oh. Just curious, like, even if we uphold this motion today, we're going to just have to keep collecting from them as long until they fix it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry. Yeah. I just mostly just concur with folks here. This seems like a matter of Ellis Act Court and eviction issues, and not really within the purview of what we're bound to consider here as the Abatement Appeals Board. And I don't see anything that the department has done wrong that we should be reversing in any way. So I would vote to uphold this as well.
Commissioner Williams, do you still have additional comments to make?
Sure, I'll be. The main issue, there wasn't an error on the part of the department. I don't think, and hasn't really been an explanation for what led to, the work being done in the first place or anything like that. And then the second issue, what I think most of us were searching for was some justification for some reason to modify this. There's still safety issues outstanding, which is a concern, but it's on the appellant to, provide the evidence for us to make a modification. And despite my professional experience, I am sympathetic to your position. I can understand how difficult that can be to be locked into years of litigation. There's going to be probably an assessment of cost here. A benefit of being locked into litigation is that that's something that can be litigated on who's responsible for those costs. So with that said, I will stop speaking and we can have fun.
Add is if the department can connect with you, just if you're interested in the option of legalizing the unit when it does become, instead of reverting it, is that something that we can provide information on, or where would you suggest that they connect, or would it be through the inspection process, just in terms of that's an option they wish to pursue?
Sure, I've worked with these appellants before. You can come talk to me anytime. I point you in the right direction.
Thank you. You can have a seat. Thank you. I don't. If the board doesn't have any questions, then you won't be able to have further comments unless the board has questions. Okay. Thanks. So is there further discussion or a motion regarding the item?
Motion to uphold the NOV and cost assessment.
And deny the appeal.
And deny the appeal.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. And is there a second? That is Commissioner Calamucci. Okay. So the motion by Vice President Newman, a second by Commissioner Calamucci, and I'll do the roll call vote. Vice President Newman?
Yes.
Commissioner Alexander Toot?
Yes.
Commissioner Calamucci?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Yes.
And Commissioner Williams?
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries unanimously. Okay, next is it's concluded, and you can reach out to Mr. Green, and he will assist you in future. Next is item E, general public comment. Members of the public may address the board on matters that are within the board's jurisdiction that are not on today's agenda. Speakers shall address their remarks to the board as a whole and not to individual board members or department personnel. And there's no public comment. Item F is adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn? Second? Are all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. We're now adjourned. It is 10:14 a.m. We will reconvene at 10:30 as the Building Inspection Commission. Thank you.